Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 38, I believe. Kevayam nama rupabhyam yaduhi sahapandavaha bhagavato darshanam vyahi vishikanam iveshituhu. Devayam nama rupabhyam yadubhi sahapandavaha bhavato darshanam yahi vishikanam iveshituhu. Kevayam nama rupabhyam yadubhi sahapandavaha bhavato darshanam yahi vishikanam iveshituhu. Okay. Who are vayam? We nama rupabhyam, without fame and ability. That's interesting, isn't it? Yadubhi, with the yadus. Saha, along with. Pandavaha, and the Pandavas. Bhavataha, your adarshanam, absence. Yahi, as if. Rishikanam, of the senses. Eva, like. Ishituhu, of the living being. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. Purport. Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame, and are guided by the great King Yudhisthira, who is morality personified. And the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies, but without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities, as much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power and fame without being guided by the favour of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord himself. We may therefore invent by our advancement of material knowledge all sorts of counteracting material resources. But without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. Om ma gyanati mirandasya nandana sadakaya Chakshurum militam tena tasmayai Sri Gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Tena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Muktam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langayate Girim Yakripatamaham Bande Sri Gurun Dinatavinam. No one should be proud of his prestige, power and fame without being guided by the favour of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord himself. We may therefore invent by our advancement of material knowledge all sorts of counteracting material resources. But without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. So, so the example is given here of the body. The body is dependent on the presence of the soul. And we measure the soul's presence by the symptoms of consciousness. Or we understand the soul's presence by the symptoms of consciousness. And that's fairly easy. You know, that's a dead body. No consciousness, dead body. A live body means conscious. And with the presence of the with the presence of the soul, then we have action. Right. Action and interaction. Even when we're externally inactive, when we're sleeping, still internally there's action. The heart's beating and the blood's pumping and the organs are working, and we may appear to not be doing anything, but still something's happening. So even in a state of inaction, the body's still working internally, because that's the principle of the, or that's a symptom of the presence of the soul. But when a soul disappears, or just the example that I like to give is the example of a stillborn child. When a child is stillborn, and very often it's got all of the features, you know, it's got five fingers on each hand and five toes on each foot, and it's got a heart and a liver and a kidney and a brain and all the pieces of all the mechanical elements are present. The mechanics are present, but the child's still born. And even, you know, you can zap it with electric currents or do all sorts of things to try to bring it to life. But it's not possible, because the vital living force, which is the symptom, the manifestation, is the byproduct of the presence of the soul, won't manifest because the soul is not present. All the chemistry, all the material elements that are required for life are present, but without the presence of the soul, then we just have still dull matter. Even the form may be there, some apparent substance. The potential, it appears potentially as being able to provide life. And of course, Prabhupada would use these arguments to say, you know, life comes from the presence of the soul, life doesn't come from matter. And, you know, Prabhupada's challenge was, you know, we'll give you the chemicals, you produce life. But without the presence of the living entity, without the presence of the soul, you won't have life. So similarly here also, the analogy is given that without the presence of Krishna, without the instructions of Krishna, without the blessings of Krishna, then the devotee's life is meaningless or ineffectual. Krishna is about to leave Hastinapur to return to Dwarka, and so Kunti is offering her prayers in appreciation of the Lord and her relationship with him and her family's relationship. And so she's acknowledging, she's offering deference to Krishna and the relationship that Krishna bears, or the nature of the relationship and what it bears or carries for the devotees. And basically saying, you know, we may be kings, we may be in control of the throne. You know, she's saying here, or Prabhupada's saying here, we're well established. In other words, you know, they're now the rulers. Well established in name and form. This is word here, or two words, nama rupa bhyam. Nama means name, rupa means form. Right? We were discussing the other day at Krishna Fest that in order for something to be properly described, then it has to have four characteristics, four attributes. If it doesn't have any one of these four attributes, then it doesn't exist. First one is name. Everything has a name. Right? If you don't have a name, then you don't exist. A-U.
Nobody would identify you.
Yeah, that's how we identify somebody, by their name. So they've got a name. Pandavas have got a name. They're the Pandavas. And they're famous because they're the, you know, they're the powerful Kshatriya kings. And as a result of the name, then one is famous. Although here it says it's Rupa. Now it's interesting. That's also described here as ability, Rupa. Nama Rupa Vyam. Fame and ability. Then Prabhupada mentions name and fame. But then later on, he says prestige, power and fame. So anyway, we get the idea. Nama, rupa, myam. Nam, name, rupa, form, guna, is qualities. If you have no qualities, then that means what? If you don't have any qualities, what does that mean? You don't exist. If you haven't got qualities, then you're not anything. If you don't have a name, if you don't have a form, if you don't have qualities, and lila, pastimes, activities. These are symptoms of an entity, a being, a person, effectively. Manifest to a greater or a lesser degree. So, Kunti is saying, we may have name and we may have fame, prestige, power, position, you know, because the Pandavas are very powerful. But without a connection to you, it's all useless. It's meaningless. Which is why Prabhupada says here, without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco. Actually, Prabhupada says here, interesting. We may therefore invent, by our advancement of material knowledge, all sorts of counteracting material resources. What is Prabhupada referring to here when he says counteracting material resources? What is Prabhupada referring to?
Maybe money.
Huh?
Money.
Quite possibly money, but what?
Medicine.
Medicine, yeah. What else? Speak up louder.
Mental speculation.
Mental speculation. Yeah, quite possibly. What is Prabhupada talking about? Counteracting material resources. Yeah? Yeah? What's being counteracted in the material world? Huh?
Suffering.
Suffering, yeah, in the form of what?
Ignorance.
Yeah, ignorance, but specifically four things.
Birth,
death.
Birth,
death. Yes, birth, death, old age and disease. So we come up with all sorts of plans to overcome these things. Sense gratification is also one of them, we think, right? By enhancing sense gratification, we're going to be happy. Right? By acquiring sense gratification, by getting money. What do we get money for?
Sense gratification.
Yeah, so we can eat, sleep, mate and defend. And thereby we think, I'll be happy. But the material energy is designed in such a way so that even though we do those things, still it has other plans for us. And so therefore we have to suffer. So Prabhupada says here, we may therefore invent by our advancement of material knowledge all sorts of counteracting material resources, but without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco. Actually, In one sense, the material world always ends in fiasco, even if you're guided by Krishna. Right? That's the nature of the material world. It always ends. But for the devotees, final destination is to exit the material world, and so therefore that's a success. But all of our material endeavors ultimately will be destroyed by the force of time. That's why we concentrate on performing devotional service, because devotional service is an activity that we will continue doing in the material world or in the spiritual world. We're not limited by the material realm if we're engaged in devotional service, because devotional service is an eternal activity. Even though it appears to be manifest through the material elements, actually those activities of devotional service are eternally manifest and present within the spiritual world and also in the material world. Wherever Krishna is performing his pastimes, then devotional service is being performed eternally. So therefore he manifests also in the material world.
Devotional service is transcendental.
Yes.
Above the three modes.
Yes. Yeah. So this is why one needs to be guided by Krishna, because otherwise one will be guided by one's material intelligence. You know, we depend upon Krishna's guidance, and that guidance manifests in a variety of ways. What are the ways in which Krishna's guidance manifests for us? Through the instructions of the spiritual masters. Who else?
The
scriptures, yes. And? Huh? What did you say?
Chaitanya Guru
in the heart. Yeah, why not?
Lectures.
Who's giving the lectures? Sadhus. Yeah. Basically, sadhu, guru, sadhu, and shastra are our guidance. Chaitanya Guru, interestingly, is not emphasized as much as the sadhus, because, you know, how do we know if it's the Chaitanya Guru that's guiding us? You know, it could just be the mind chattering away, do this, do that. You know, you're not saying you're telling anything. Try part, oh, will it be this one, will it be that one? Is it the super soul guiding me, or is it just my mind? Hard to tell sometimes. You notice that? Yeah. Best to just go and do your service. Don't worry about too much. That's why Lord Chaitanya recommends approach everybody. Be equal to everyone. Sometimes we are inspired by the super soul. Sometimes, definitely. Can't say that we're not. But when that time was, it's hard to work out. Exactly. So the emphasis is on guru, sadhu, and shastra. Because the guru is actually the external manifestation of the super soul. It's described as a manifestation of the super soul. Why so much emphasis? The representative of Lord Nityananda, the representative of Lord Balaram, the giver of spiritual strength and power. How does one gain spiritual strength and power from the guru? Anybody like to suggest? He just touches you and now I'm empowered. In one sense he does touch, or she does touch, but how do they touch? Yes, instructions. The touches on the ears is a very subtle way of touching somebody. Right? Through sound vibration. Or it can be not so subtle sometimes. Don't do it, you idiot. Right? But that's touch. Sparsa. Touch. Touch by sound. But within the sound is power and potency. Right? Why so much? You know, one of my favorite quotations, he lives forever in his divine instructions and the follower lives with him. So when we follow the order of the spiritual master, whose order are we following? Well, as we're following Krishna's instruction, because the spiritual master simply repeats Krishna's instructions. That's the real qualification of a spiritual master, Prabhupada says. It's a person who hands the knowledge down, just like a peon, Prabhupada says, post peon, a messenger. The postman delivers the mail. He doesn't open up the mail and then change all the messages inside the letters. He simply just delivers the message as it was given originally. So this is the guidance coming from Krishna. Without that guidance, we're just going to be engaged in material activities. We may be famous. We may be wealthy. We may be beautiful. We may be learned from the material calculation. But all we'll do is cook up, what is it? By our advice. Yeah. We may therefore invent, right? Invent gives the idea of just creating something. By our advancement of material knowledge, all sorts of counteracting material resources. Trying to counteract the influence of the material energy, especially birth, death, old age and disease. And in the pursuit of happiness, we try to mitigate these things. But without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco. However strong and stout the reactionary elements may be, our plans. So better that our plans be connected with Krishna, that they be inspired by Krishna's instructions, inspired by the Shastra, inspired by the sadhus, and confirmed by the guru, or the gurus, actually. Guru, sadhu, Shastra. No one should be proud of his prestige, power and fame without being guided by the favour of the Supreme Lord. Why? Because where does our power, prestige and fame come from in the first place? Yes. You know, we could take the plumes of a peacock and stick them on ourselves and then parade around. Right? Oh, look, I'm as good as a peacock. But ultimately, where's the... You know, it's coming from the peacock, it's not coming from us. And that's what we do. We take from Krishna. We cover ourselves with Krishna's property. And then we think, oh, I'm so good. Right? I'm so handsome, I'm so intelligent, I'm so foolish. Here, Prabhupada says here, the living beings are always dependent. So this sense of I'm independent is false. This is called ahankara, false ego. It's the first connection with the material energy. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. From the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, influenced by the false ego, I think I'm the doer, kartaham. I'm the doer. But actually, we're not the doer. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. Actually, so the ability doesn't, it's not ours. It's a possession, but it is given to us by Krishna. The devotees are well aware of that. Or those who are somewhat advanced are well aware of the fact that the potency or the power comes from Krishna, it doesn't come from me. When we're in Krishna consciousness, then we see. And Krishna gives us the ability to overcome. There's that verse in the... I think it's the 18th chapter. 18th or the 17th? What is it? Matschita sarva durgani mat prasada tarisyasi atachet tvam ahankaran nasrosyasi minamsyati, which means thinking of me. So in other words, being conscious of Krishna. Matschita sarva durgani, all difficulties, all problems, mat prasada, by my mercy, by my prasad, mat prasada tarishyasi, you can overcome. So if we're thinking of Krishna and remembering Krishna, then we realize that our nama rupabhyam, our name and position, our abilities, they're ultimately all coming from Krishna. But however, atachet tvam, but if you think, ahankaram, under the influence of the false ego, that you're the doer, nasrosyasi, you won't hear me. Speaking of Chaitya Guru, right? We think I'm the doer, then we think I'm doing it, and we fail to listen to the inspiration coming from the super soul. Atachet tvam ahankaram. Nasrosyasi, you will not hear me. Nasrosyasi means you won't hear. Vinamshyati, and vinamshyati means you'll be finished. Vinamshyati. As Prabhupada says here, without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco. So see what kind of a devotee Kunti is. She's saying, without you, Krishna, we're nothing. We may be famous, we may be powerful and influential, but that power and influence is only effective when it's connected to you. Just as the example is given, that without the presence of the soul, then the body is, you know, you may have a big crown on your head, and you may be dressed in fancy clothes. Right? But, and you may have a big coffin, right? And there's queues of people coming to see you. But, you know, it remains still that you're dead, effectively. Huh? Dead. Dead to the world. As Prabhupada points out, we may have Yudhishthira as the king, morality personified, and the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies, but without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities. Why without the guidance of Krishna? Because without the guidance of Krishna, then we're just in Maya. Atachet tvam ahankaram nasrosyasi, not hearing Krishna's instructions, we're finished. Vinamshyati. We're finished. So there's a powerful lesson here. We need to take shelter of the instructions, the guidance of Krishna. You know, we're not personally guided by Krishna. Usually. There may be some rare souls who say, you know, I am guided by Krishna. Well, you'd be pretty foolish to do that, because the problem is that you make mistakes and then it's obvious that you're not. And so therefore, that's why the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra are prominent in the lives of the devotees. When one receives an instruction from the spiritual master, one should do it. You know, my Guru Maharaj is always giving me advice about how to do things in the temple, and he knows me now for many, many years. But so he gives me some advice, and then he asks me later, "Did you write that down?" Knowing that I'm a lazy disciple. And when the spiritual master gives you instruction, it's not something that you just meditate on, but you have to act upon it. You have to start doing something.
Execution.
Yes, execution. Not that I'm meditating on your instructions. That could mean just ignoring them. You're meditating on the instruction, but you're failing to act, to do it. Because you could say, well, Prabhupada took 13 years to take initiation from his guru, so he was meditating on his... Yes, you could say that. But in the meantime, Prabhupada was acting. Waiting for the time. And there are obvious considerations of what? Three considerations that we take into account when we receive an order from our spiritual guides. What are those three things? Kala, Desha, Patra. Time, place and circumstance. Yeah. How do we work out time, place and circumstance? What do we need in order to work out what's appropriate and what's not? Yes, intelligence. Intelligence means discrimination, the power to discriminate. What's good, what's not. What should be accepted, what should be rejected. And the ability to understand that is nourished or developed by hearing, by reading. You know, here it's Krishna's guidance. Kunti is looking for Krishna's guidance. We should be looking for Krishna's guidance. We can get that directly from the association of the devotees. We can get that by direct instructions from the spiritual master or spiritual masters, because we'll have more than one, more often than not. And the Shastra, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita for us. They're our four, the four pillars, if you like, of our instruction. We should become expert in knowing the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, and Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you know all of those things, Prabhupada said those four books. The Ishapanishad is a primer. You know what I mean by a primer? Beginning. Primer means primary. Primary school. That's when you go and read your primer. So, you know, the basics, the basic books. But for, you know, if one wants to understand the depth and the application of the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, then those four books are sufficient. You know those four books, and you'll be able. Prabhupada says you'll be able to defeat anybody. Not that we want to defeat people; we want to help them. It's not a fight, although sometimes it is a fight. It's not a fight, but there are those who want to fight. Devotees don't want to fight necessarily. Arjuna didn't want to fight. But we will fight if we have to. So the senses need the guidance of consciousness, the presence and the guidance of consciousness. The devotees look to Krishna for inspiration. Otherwise, the material world is a pretty miserable, kind of depressing place. Really, you know, ultimately all of our efforts end up in nothing. And that can be very depressing.
Dukalayam
ashashvatam. Yeah, dukkha means... Dukalayam means a place of unhappiness. Dukkha. But the devotees are happy. Why are they happy? Because they're inspired by Krishna. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
When I say Vishnu Upanishad, it's very important to know absolute truth. Samam Purnam. Om Purnamada Purnam 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 Purnam.
Yes.
To show that anything comes out of still is good.
Yep.
And
that's true.
Point was,
but that'll come in the Bhagavad Gita too. I think, you know, that knowledge you'll find in the Bhagavad Gita. That's why Prabhupada mentioned those four books.
Yeah.
It's a punishment.
The other point was that guru should be bona fide, because then we are getting mercy from the disciplined parampara.
Yes, of course, that's a given. He's not a guru if he hasn't getting. Yeah, got to come from the parampara. If it doesn't come from the parampara, where's it coming from? Yeah. How do we understand that Prabhupada is here in the Murti? Well, the same could be said is, how do we understand that Krishna is here in his Murti form? He's here because we have asked him to be present. And we worship that Archa Vigraha form as a mercy incarnation. Who agrees to accept our worship through the material elements. But the material elements, they're not material elements, they're spiritualized by the invitation of love and affection that his disciples and followers display in offering their worship. And so, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of a post box, right? If you want to send a letter to your parents, say, you don't walk down the street and just throw your letter into any old box, right? You don't throw it in the rubbish bin, for example, it's a box. Because you know that then your letter will end up in the rubbish dump. But you put it in the authorized box. Right? It has the stamp of, you know, Australia Post on it. Or wherever you happen to be. The post office. So similarly also, the form of the Lord or the form of the spiritual master is authorized because we install the deity form in a particular way. We follow the way that's recommended by the Shastras, that's recommended by the Acharyas. And so in that way then, the form of the spiritual master or the form of Krishna, because they've been created in the likeness of that personality according to the scriptural injunctions, and they've been installed in a particular way, then that form then becomes the authorized mercy incarnation, mercy form of the Lord, or his representative. And through that form, then he'll accept our worship. Not that we worship any old form. Right? So we make sure that the form of the of Prabhupada is a likeness of Prabhupada. You know, some there are some murtis in India, you see, And you think, God, who's this? In Melbourne, we happen to be very, very fortunate because we have one of the original Murtis made by... I've forgotten the devotee's name now. But he was really... The Murtis that... what was his... Does anybody know the name of the devotee that makes the... forgotten his name now. He worked in Hollywood making sets and stuff. You know, so expert craftsman. So very much a likeness of Shiva. So the, it has to be a likeness of the person. Right? If it doesn't look like Prabhupada, then we could be offering worship there. It's like... Simple thing, right? It's got to look like Prabhupada for it to be Prabhupada. That's basic stuff. Fairly straightforward. But then we worship as is expected. The proper rituals are performed, if we like to call it that. We don't make up our own thing. But we worship Srila Prabhupada according to the proper standard. We install him according to the proper standard. And Prabhupada says, if we do that, then that worship will be accepted by Krishna and by the spiritual master. And we feel that. We feel when we render service to Prabhupada, when we render service to Radha Vallabha, then we feel the reciprocation. And the affection grows. You know, devotees do their service for many, many years. But sometimes the devotees will criticize the Chintaripa. You won't give up doing the vases. And she likes doing it. Why should she give it up? She likes to do it. I remember even, I used to think, when am I going to go out on Sankirtan? Because I used to clean I used to do all of the cleaning the kitchen in the morning, cleaning the Lord's plates, serving the prasadam, then cleaning up after the devotees had breakfast. And I didn't like doing it particularly. And I used to think, when can I go out on Sankirtan? When can I be a Sankirtan devotee? But then when I became a Sankirtan devotee, then I was thinking, oh, who's going to clean the floors? I like cleaning the floors. So we like, you know, if you do your service, because what happens is Krishna reciprocates with us on a spiritual level. When we become absorbed in our service, whatever the service is, even if we don't particularly like it, and often, you know, it'll be a challenge. And a mind will say, oh, I don't want to do this, it's too this, that, or the other thing that I don't like. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, we should accept our service as if it is given personally by Krishna. But, you know, we think, it's Nanda Mandir or Sripa Shakti or Aniruddha or Chintaripa or somebody could tell me what to do. No, I don't like it. Because if we keep on doing things on that level of consciousness, then we won't do it for long. But if we embrace it as Krishna's service, then Krishna reciprocates with us. I remember many times having to do the kitchen cleanup, and I hated the kitchen cleanup. Because it meant I had to work hard and focus. But often, you know, after the first 5 minutes of struggle, you're happy doing it. And then by the end of the 2 or 3 hours that you've done your service, you're in ecstasy. You think, wow, this is far out. I can't think of anything better than doing the kitchen cleanup. Huh? And you feel like that with Sankirtan or whatever, especially when you go on Sankirtan. You think, oh, this is the toughest service I've ever had to do. Got to fight with all of these stupid karmis. Right? Isn't it? They're blockheads. Nobody's stopping. Nobody's going to take a book. And what do I got to do this horrible service for? This is the biggest challenge, isn't it? Toughest. And it is, in many respects, it is. But when you get into it, people are stopping, they're taking books, giving donations, and think, wow, this is far out. This is so easy. I'm empowered. I'm a Shakti of Nish avatar. Until the next day when you go to Amazon, oh, this is the toughest service. This is so hard. Why do I have to do this? What have I got to do this for? Why don't they ask me to do this horrible service? So, you know, we should see it. If we see, this is why the instructions of the devotees, the instructions of the Shastra, the instructions of the Guru are important, because we have to see that, you know, we have to look at the internal, what's happening on the internal level. Externally we may be doing certain things, but internally we're actually developing our relationship with Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates when we do that service. So we worship the deity, the deity form. Deity, we shouldn't say deity. My brother writes to me and he's got DD. I worship the DD. The deity form of the Lord. And he appears as stone. Right? He appears as stone. And so, and Prabhupada says, you know, if you see Krishna as stone, then that's all he'll ever be. Krishna will not manifest himself. But if you see Krishna personally and Prabhupada personally and you serve, then Prabhupada and Krishna will reveal themselves to you. And they reveal themselves through service. And reveal so many things in the heart. You know, our, what is it? What's that verse? After that. Tesham evanu kampa tam mahamma gyana jam tamaha nasyam yatma bhavasto gyana deepa basvata. Gyana deep ena basvata, right?
Yeah,
gyana deep. Deep means lamp. Gyana means knowledge. So Krishna says, I, out of compassion for my devotees. You know, Krishna, even though Krishna is ajita, unconquerable, have a guess what? He's always conquered by his devotees. And how do his devotees conquer him? By service. By always rendering service. Achyutrupa was telling the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was travelling, it's in the Brihat Bhagavatam already, he was travelling and he saw a sannyasi carrying the weapons of a Kshatriya, so he wanted to fight with him. He said, you know, here's somebody who's being dishonest. Right? So he fought with him for 3 days and couldn't overcome him. The next morning he was worshipping his deity and offering him a garland. Then when he went out to fight, he noticed that who he was fighting with had his garland on. Then he realized that actually it was Narayan who he was fighting with. He'd taken the form of a sannyasi but carrying the weapons of a Kshatriya. And in the exchange, I can't remember the full details of the story, but Prahlad Maharaj said, you know, I'll never be able to defeat you. And Lord Narayan said, no, you will, I'm always defeated by you. So Krishna will is conquered by the love and affection of his devotees, and the devotees show that love and affection by rendering service. So within the heart, Krishna reveals himself and reveals ourselves to him. Is that alright? Anything else? Any realizations? Aditi, have you got a realization for us? Huh? No? Why not? Questions? Comments? I'm going to Sydney today, just in case you want to. Oh, I've just been at the farm. I've been working on our we're having our annual general meeting this week in Sydney. So for me, I'm the secretary, so that means, in one sense, everything's floating around me. So that's why I went to the farm last week, so I could avoid being distracted and could get my work done. So we're ready for the meeting. Yasamati's coming with us, and Bhakta Prabhu, we're going up to Sydney today. We'll be back on Friday. So if you're wondering where we are or what we're doing, what is he up to? This is probably one of, it's not the most intense, but it is quite intense. You know, because we have, there's ISKCON, but then there's 6 or 7 Hare Krishna Food for Life entities, plus our proprietary limited companies, plus other activities that are going on. So we're supposed to keep track of all of the business of all of the annual meetings of each one of those entities. Financial reports. I'm supposed to present. Oh, well, fortunately, Mathura Manhan is also going. He's an assistant. I'm the treasurer. He's gone treasurer for Australia, which I hate doing, to be quite frank with you. It's not fun, is it, Yasamati? The treasury work is not fun. You know, dealing with the banks, and the temples don't put enough money in accounts, loans are not getting paid, so they ring us up, they fix up this. Actually, Yasamati cops all of those now. I don't have to deal with them. She gets all of those things. Of course, I see them as well, but... So there's, but Mathura's helping a lot, actually. He's assistant treasurer, and so he's been able, he has to, you know, especially collate, get all of the accounts from all of the temples, collate them all, work out our financial position, report on that. Who's doing well, who's not doing well, who's making money, who's not making money, or whatever challenges exist. So yeah, it's a busy, this next 3 days will be extremely busy for me. But we're reasonably well prepared, having spent 5 days down the farm, which was wonderful. Yeah. Hare Krishna Valley is a nice place to go to work. Because you know your telephone doesn't work there, so people can't ring you up. And I like to have my office door open so, you know, devotees on the whole can come and see me at any time if I'm here. Or when I'm here. But it means that you don't get a lot of work done. Some days I go away feeling really frustrated because all I did was talk to people. And yet I had another 10 things that I wanted to do. So, and I've told this story many times. It takes 20 minutes to get absorbed in a project. No, really get into something. To the point where, you know, time just goes and you didn't notice it. If you're working on something, preparing a report, writing, compiling, whatever. And but if you're getting an interruption every 20 minutes, that means you never actually get into what you're doing, what you want to do. And I've had that happen to me many times. so at the end of the day I just walk out of the office feeling like I'm going to punch somebody because I'm just frustrated. You know, I have a list of things that I wanted to do and I didn't get any of them done. Or maybe I did, you know, this much of a job that's this big, working on projects. So that's why, for me anyway, and, but you know, as a temple president, you know, it's your job to be available for the devotees. As a leader of a enterprise, and you know, this could be a leader of a sankirtan team, a leader of the restaurant, or some, you know, in the women's ashram, heading up a department or looking after a group of devotees, then you need to be available for those devotees. You're their servant. You know, we have a problem with, I won't mention any names, but one president who told the devotees in his temple, I'm like the king. And you're like the citizens, and you have to do what I tell you to do. Well, on some occasions, yes. If the citizen is a miscreant, then maybe it's appropriate for the temple president to act like the king and chastise. But the temple president shouldn't think, I'm the king and you're all my citizens. The mood should be, I'm your servant and I'm here to serve you. Then there'll be reciprocation. But, so I don't mind doing that, but if I've got other things, you know, I have other things to do if I don't have them, if I don't have the time. And I've learned over the years, especially, you know, after this year having been sick and not really on the top of my game, but getting a lot better now. I have to have time away sometimes just to do things, otherwise I'll just want to throttle people, which is not good either. Hey. You know, just you need, as an administrator and as an executive, if you like, then there are times when I need to have some space just to work on projects and write papers or you know, in this case, for the annual general meeting, it means preparing an agenda, keeping track of all of the items, and there are quite a few. So that's why I went to the farm, just in case anybody's wondering what's Annie Reuter up to, just taking it easy. And I had to feed, we had to feed Money Griever's dogs too. There were a couple of other things that we were doing. We were learning how to speak dog language. A Chichiripa's got it worked out. She reckons they're always hungry. The dogs are always hungry. I just know. Okay. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavinoda ki jai.